Good morning. I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 70. And it's titled, Many Disciples Desert Jesus. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one has come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil?
So sometimes people from outside the church might ask me about the church, this church, or we might get new people who come to church and they say, can you tell us a bit about your church? Can you describe the church? What I say are things like this. I would say that we are a local Christian community, a local Christian church. I might talk a little bit about our worship style. I might talk about some of the activities that we do as church. But one answer I often give is this. I say that we are a community of people, different ages and backgrounds, on a journey of faith. And that people in the church, in this church, are at different stages of faith. From those who have been Christians for years, who are fully committed to following Jesus, to those who are just exploring faith. And then there are those who in some ways are in probably every different stage in between. And I believe that one of my roles as a church pastor is to encourage people, encourage you, I suppose, really, along your journey of faith. Whatever stage that person or whatever stage you are currently at in your journey of faith. What my role, I believe, is I want to encourage people in some ways, and I'm kind of putting it back, it's to move closer to Jesus. That's what I feel. Part of my role as the church pastor here is to encourage you to keep journeying on your faith, wherever stage you're at the moment, to move closer to Jesus, to help you to do that, to love you to do that, to cheer you on to do that, to push you and pull you to do that, to perhaps even kick you at times to do that. Whatever it takes, I want to encourage you to keep on your journey of faith and moving closer to Jesus, whatever that might look like. Ultimately, I realize I only play a small part in this. Each person in the end has to be personally responsible. It's their or your own choice to travel on that journey. Yes, I want people to come to church because I believe belonging is often a big part of that journey and fellowship is a place where people receive and grow. But again, ultimately, it's about helping people get closer to Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one who can. and we'll explore a little bit more about that saying, he's the only one who can. So this morning, I want to look at, actually, some of my heroes in the Bible, based on this theme of coming closer to Jesus. The first person is a person called Nicodemus. You find him in John 3. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council who secretly came to Jesus at night to ask Jesus about his teachings. Now, he came at night because it was a bit dangerous for him. He was to actually come to Jesus as a Pharisee. But he came to Jesus to ask him about his teachings. And actually, if you read the section with Nicodemus in, we have this, the conversation's amazing. We have some great stuff that comes out of that conversation. One of the things, we get that whole thing about when Jesus talks about being born again, is in that conversation with Nicodemus. We have John 3:16 in that conversation with Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible altogether. What I like about Nicodemus is that he is an inquirer. He's a seeker. He's open. He's exploring faith. You feel that there is a hunger in him for truth. And I think there are some people in our church. That is probably where you're at. You know, you've come into church, you've been part of the fellowship, which is wonderful. But I like to think you're exploring faith. You're inquiring, what is this all about? You know, I hear these different things. I'm trying to find out for myself what's true. And I just want to say to you today, if that is you, keep going. Just keep going. The Bible tells us, seek and you will find. And I do believe if you're an explorer here today, if you say, well, I'm not so sure I'm a Christian, but I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to explore more what it means. Keep going. Keep going. Nicodemus, later we see Nicodemus standing up for Jesus among his peers. There's a real change in him. Something definitely happens to him because he stands up for Jesus among his peers. And in the end, he helps Joseph of Arimathea prepare and put the body of Jesus in the tomb after the cross. I think in the end, Nicodemus finds the truth. If you're an inquirer here today, just keep coming closer to Jesus. The second person I want to highlight is what he called in Luke 7, the sinful woman. Jesus is at a dinner party at a Pharisee's house, and a sinful woman, and we know what that means. Well, you know, I'm going to say are all women sinful, but I get into trouble with that, but not in the way that she was classed as a sinful woman. But she enters the room. She comes to Jesus. She's weeping. She pours expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. A couple of things here. First is she comes closer to Jesus honestly, with her brokenness, with all her mess. Can I say to you, if you're going to come to Jesus, come with your mess. Don't hide it. Don't leave it outside somewhere. Come to Jesus. If you've got mess, bring it before him. If you're broken at all, bring it to him. The second thing I'd say is, I think as you get closer to Jesus, as you get closer to his holiness, I think you realize actually more about our sin and our need of him. I've talked in the past, there was the illustration that when I became a Christian, I used to watch a lot of horror movies. But I think as I got closer to Jesus, I realized watching horror movies was not the best thing for me. As I journeyed on a little bit in my faith and I started getting closer to him, I realized what went into my head, I had to guard against that, and horror movies was not the best for me. So I ended up stopped watching horror movies. And I'm sure for you, well, and for me, but also I'm sure for many of you, that over time, as you've got closer to Jesus, he's pointed out things. He's said, look, maybe this is not why best for you. This is sin, maybe. And as we get closer to his holiness, we begin to realize, actually, our sin more and our need of him more. Also to say alongside that, I think as people move further away from Jesus, I think fighting sin becomes less important and giving in to sin is not so much an issue. And sometimes we see that in people as they move away from Jesus, sin starts to creep more into their lives because it becomes less of an issue towards them. What we also see, though, in this story, isn't it, is the beauty of compassion in Jesus, who accepts this woman and offers her forgiveness. He's the only one who can. The next person, because I've got quite a few today, is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we find him in Luke 19. Many of us will know the story. His journey towards Jesus starts with him climbing a tree. Is it time for a song again? Nah, Zacchaeus. We know it, don't we? Come on. Was a very little man. And we know it, don't we? From our Sunday school days. At this point, he was a tax collector. He was stealing money from his own people. But after his encounter with Jesus, things change. He is transformed. And we see this in his generosity. Luke 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." See, I think as people move closer to Jesus, people encounter, meet Jesus, people find transformation for the better. Sometimes that transformation is fast and radical. I guess it was for Zacchaeus. For others, it's often more slow, but still very significant. As we journey to Jesus, as we encounter Jesus, as we come closer to Jesus, then I think we become more transformed, hopefully, into the likeness of Jesus. He's the only one who can. Another hero is the woman in the Bible, Luke 8, the woman who'd been caught, according to Luke 8, she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. In this story, Jesus is walking in a crowd, and this woman pushes her way through just to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. And when she does, the Bible tells us that she is immediately healed. I just love her determination to get closer to Jesus, to get close to Jesus. Her faith rising that just a touch from him can help her, can heal her, as only Jesus can. Again, the question, how determined are we to get closer to Jesus? And what might we need to push or battle through to get closer to Jesus? Because sometimes we do. There are barriers. There are things that would stop us. And sometimes we need to push through those things. We need to battle through those things. We need to ask for help to overcome those things that we might get closer to Jesus. That we might have his power touch our lives. His healing, his love. Like I say, it's a little bit bitty. Lots of different people today. The next one I wanted to highlight was the story where Jesus forgives and heals the paralyzed man. We find it in Luke 5. This is a story about some friends helping their friend get closer to Jesus. Some of you will know the story. We've got some friends that are carrying a paralyzed man, a friend of theirs, carrying him on some sort of stretcher, and they're trying to get to Jesus because they, again, believe that Jesus can help this man. And as they get close to the house where Jesus is, there's just too much of a crowd. They can't get past. It's too many people. So the story tells us that they go up to the roof of the house and they lower their friend down from the roof in front of Jesus. I think this story for me has to challenge us about how serious we are about getting our non-Christian friends, perhaps even our family members, closer to Jesus. They were so determined. They were so, they wanted their friend to get close to Jesus. And they were willing again to kind of push through, to find a way that somehow that they could get their friend before Jesus and their friend encountered Jesus in miraculous ways. I remember doing an alpha course. I used to do lots of alpha courses. I've done some in this church. I used to do some when I used to work at South Chatterton and Methodist Church. And I remember doing an alpha course, and somebody came on the alpha course, and they really were blessed by the course. They really had a real kind of encounter with Jesus. They got closest to Jesus through the course, and it was really good. And then the course finished, and they said, oh, I just want my friend to come on the course. So we ended up doing a second course. And I said to a friend, well, what are you going to do about your friend? Are you going to invite her? She says, I'm going to invite her, but I'm going to come back just to make sure she goes. She did. She'd done the course. But she said, I'm going to do the 10 weeks again just so I can bring my friend to do it again. Because she so wanted her friend to discover something that she'd found, a deeper relationship with Jesus. What would we do to get our friends and our families closer to Jesus? How concerned are we for that to happen? It's got to challenge us, hasn't it, that story? The next story is the thief on the cross. Slightly an odd story to choose, perhaps. Find it in Luke 23. In this story, the thief on the cross, his circumstances meant that he ended up next to Jesus physically on the cross. And in the closing moments, we're told, and there was two thieves, we'll talk about the other one in a minute, but the one I'm talking about, the one that responded to Jesus and accepted Jesus in those moments just before the end of his life. His journey closer to Jesus was very short, but it was very powerful. Because he hears these words from Jesus, Luke 23, 43, Jesus answered him, surely I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, it is never too late to come closer to Jesus. Never too late to call out to him and say, I need you. I accept you. I want to respond to you. It's never too late because he's the only one who can. My final one, and then I'm going to change tack just a little bit, is the Magi. Coming up to Christmas, just nice to get in there. Matthew 2. The Magi, or the kings, they travelled a long way, didn't they, to worship at the feet of Jesus. I was listening to an Open Doors, like a guy talking about Open Doors. Open Doors is the organisation, we support them as a church, that work with the persecuted church across the world. And I was listening to a little bit of a talk, and the guy was talking about a church in Nigeria, and he showed a picture. The church had been, well, virtually demolished from persecution. The kind of all the walls were down. It was just a shell. The roof had gone, everything. And yet, there were some Christians, even though themselves were still in some danger, they'd gathered in this shell of a building to come together to worship Jesus. And it was a powerful image, you know, because they were in themselves. Their church building had been demolished through persecution. They themselves were still under the threat of that themselves, and there was danger around them. But yet they'd pushed through that to meet in fellowship, to be in the presence of Jesus together as God's people. I must admit, it was a bit funny because the person who was talking about them said this, and sometimes we might not turn up to church to worship Jesus just because of fog. Well, I mean, sometimes there are some reasons we don't turn up to fellowship. For all kinds of reasons. Some, yeah, we know. Some you think, when you think about these people that were in this place of intense persecution and everything had seemed gone, but yet they were still willing to push to meet in this shell of a church building as God's people to continue their journey of faith, to worship and be together. Food for thought. So I just wanted to highlight these stories a little bit different. I mean, lots of little bits today there. These different people in the Bible that just, for whatever, were ended up trying to go closer to Jesus, push through the crowd, get lowered through the roof, climb a tree, whatever it was, just to get closer to Jesus. And in those places, you start to see what happens when people go closer to Jesus. The other side of this message, I suppose, is what you might call the walk awayers. I don't think that's the same awayers, but it is in my book. It's the people who walked away from Jesus. Many of you know the story about the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do? Inherit eternal life." And Jesus says, "Well, you've got to follow the commandments." And the man says, "Great, I'll do that." And then Jesus says, "You've got to give away your wealth." And the man was like, "Whoa, hang on a minute." And he walked away from Jesus. Couldn't do it. Too much for him at that point. Think about the Pharisees. They walked away from Jesus just because they just didn't get it. They missed it completely. They were self-centered rather than wanting what we hope they wanted. And also, I thought about that second thief on the cross. We talked about the one thief that ended up close to Jesus on the cross, who responded to Jesus, who accepted Jesus, who got that promise that soon he would be in paradise with Jesus. But then we had the second thief on the cross. He made a very different choice. So I believe ended up with a very different eternity. And that takes me to the reading today. Finally got there. John 6. Jesus is teaching his disciples. And we're told, we obviously can tell that at this stage, there are far more than the 12 disciples that we know well. And Jesus' teachings about follow him are not always easy. It wasn't for these guys listening to the teachings of Jesus in John 6. And it isn't always for us. And then we're told, verse 66, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." In some ways, when I read that, I take a little bit of encouragement. Because these are people who have walked with Jesus, who have heard Jesus, who have been face to face with Jesus. Yet even they have chose to walk away from Jesus. I find it really hard, very upsetting, when I see people walking away from Jesus. That's one of the toughest parts of my job, I think. I carry that concern. I know it's their responsibility. I know that it has to be their choice. But when I see somebody, maybe they were growing in faith and they were moving closer to Jesus, maybe in fellowship regular, and suddenly you can see they're drifting away. And many, some, but they just seem to drift altogether and they drop away. I find that really upsetting when that happens. But I think to myself, wow, there were people that even walked with Jesus face to face who walked away from him. Wow. Because I understand that being a Christian is not always easy. The Bible says it's like walking a narrow path and only a few actually make it. I spoke the other week about rapture, didn't I? And I hope that you're the few. Every one of you becomes the part of the few that make it. I threw in an extra one. The extra one that I thought about was the lost or the prodigal son. Because he's a bit of everything, isn't he? Because he walked away. He walked away from the father in the story. Went into his wild living. But then he returned in the story, didn't he? So he walked away from Jesus in some ways, you could say. And then he walked back closer to Jesus. I say that because I know that many people here carry prodigals in their heart. I know that many of you carry people in your heart, that people that you know who've walked away or are moving away from Jesus, and your prayer for them, isn't it, is that one day, like Bonnie Tyler would say, that they turn around and they come back to Jesus. She doesn't sing that bit. And I pray today that maybe for some of you, that part of your prayer, as we draw things to a close a little bit later, that will be for those prodigals, those people that you once knew Jesus, once were close to Jesus, once that were going with Jesus, but walked away. And we pray again that they might find something that brings them home, back into the Father's presence. Before I finish, I also want to acknowledge, I want to say thank you to those people who have encouraged, were patient with, loved, cheered me on, took risks with me, even corrected and even kicked me. And yes, at times I definitely need it. I can talk about some of my youth days and my youth leaders pulling their hair out. But these people over my life who have helped me get closer to Jesus. Of course, I've got to acknowledge again my parents who took me to church, dragged me to church at times, but showed me Jesus. I think about my youth leaders who had a great impact on me at a certain stage in my life. I think about some of the people I worked with. I worked with a guy called Rob Frost for a time. I worked with Graham Horsley at South Chadderton Methodist Church. I think about some other good Christian friends that have helped me. And Alison, who kept me on track many, many times. I want to say thank you to those people that they helped me get closer to Jesus in my years. And I wonder who those people were or are for you in your life. Who are those people? Maybe you can even go to some of them and say thank you. Thank you for helping me stay closer to Jesus, be close to Jesus. They're important people, aren't they? But to finish in our Bible reading, as many of the disciples walked away from Jesus, Jesus turned to the ones who were left. He said this to them, "Do you not want to leave too? Do you," Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil." As he was predicting his betrayal of Judas. But I hope those words come to us, because I think Jesus says, well, what about you? Will you walk away? The teaching's tough, it's hard. Or can you say, no, Jesus, you're the one. How could I walk away from you? I want to walk, not away from you. I want to walk closer to you. Because you are the one true living God. Where else could I go for what you bring into my life? Your love and your hope, your forgiveness and your purpose. I don't want to walk away from you. I know it's tough at times and I might feel like walking away from you. But I want to go closer to you. I want to know you more. I want to know what it means to live with you more in my life. So whatever stage you're at, I think there's a challenge today. Are you journeying towards Jesus? Or are you walking away? Or are you allowing there just to be more distance between you? And I say that because I think sometimes when we sit still in our faith, what happens is we just become further away from Jesus in some ways. We're not intentionally walking away, but we're not making any effort to go closer. I wonder where you are. The challenge is, isn't it, to us all? whatever stage of your faith journey, can I just again encourage you this morning? If you're an explorer, for want of a better word, if you're a little bit like Nicodemus was, can I just encourage you to seek, because you'll find. But just to say that if you are an explorer looking for truth, at some point you will have to come to a time of decision. You will have to come to a point where you have to take the step of faith to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And there's no time like the present. I used to talk to somebody who was part of the church, was in a group with them, and they used to say, well, I'm exploring, I'm trying to work it all out. When I get to about 90%, I'll take that step of faith. I used to say to them, I'd get to 51%. Because the rest will come after that time. There will come a time where you will have to make a decision. If you're a young Christian here today, and what I mean is not young in age, but young in your faith, can I say for you, I think one of the keys for you is to be consistent. Be consistent, particularly in things like fellowship, Bible reading, prayer, coming to church. Be consistent. Don't okey-cokey it in and out. Don't let the enemy snatch away your faith. We could look at the parable of the sower. Well, that's what he wants to do. He wants to snatch away the seeds of faith that are in you on your journey while you're young. Be consistent. Don't give him that opportunity. If you're a more mature Christian here today, can I say to you, don't get caught up in familiarity? We were talking about this a little bit during our Bible course this week, that even the stories of Jesus, the life of Jesus, we know that. He died for us on the cross, Don't get too familiar in your journey. Another lie is that you've hit your capacity. This is something that I'm trying to work through at the moment in my own thoughts. It'll come out at some point as a message, I'm sure. But don't let the enemy tell you that you've hit your capacity as a Christian. There's always more. More for you to be and do and explore and be used for in his kingdom. If anything, be a child again. You know, that whole idea we talked on again at the course about when we watched that King of Kings animation and the child in the stories of Jesus was just like, wow, when things happened, when he fed the 5,000 and when he walked on the water, the kid was in the story because it's an animation and the kid was like so excited. We have to be like that sometimes. Be a child again in our faith. And if you're a Christian of an older age, can I just say to you again, finish well. But you're not finished. If God has given you breath today, as he has me, to be here and to wake up, we've got more to do. Finish well. I just want to encourage you, wherever you are today in that journey of faith, there's always more. I encourage you to keep pushing closer to Jesus. We're going to sing and then we'll pray. I picked the song Come Jesus. That's right, isn't it? Come Jesus, Come. This is one of the newer songs that we've learned recently. I really like this song. In some ways, when I thought, I like this song, different word, the words in it. But it's asking Jesus to come to us in some ways, but it's not, because actually, if we're singing those words truly, it's about we know we need to come to him. We need to go close to him. And I pray that this song will cement some of the things I've said today, will help us to think more, a little bit more about coming closer to Jesus. And one of the greatest ways we come closer to Jesus is, I think, is in worship, isn't it? So let's stand again and sing. Come, Jesus, come. Please be seated. We're just going to take a little bit of time in prayer. That's a privilege to be able to come to Jesus in prayer, to just be still before him. I just wondered which or if any of those stories particularly that God might want to just prompt something in us today For each one of us, it might be a little bit different, depending on where you're at the moment in your own faith journey. But my prayer today is that we would all come a little bit closer to Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, I do pray for us all, and I include myself, that we might, wherever we are in our journey of faith, Lord, that we wouldn't be satisfied with where we are. Certainly that we wouldn't fall back from where we were. But actually we would continue the journey. Because I do believe you've always got more. It might be different. It might look different. But there's still more. More to discover, more to in our relationship with you that we can find. Help us all to journey forward. Maybe there's some people here today a little bit like Nicodemus. Just searching, inquiring, seeking about faith. What hunger for truth. Lord, would you meet them in their inquiry? Would you meet them, Lord, in that place? Would you show them the truth? As you did with Nicodemus, would you give them that sense to say, yes, this I am true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And would you call them into that relationship with you? Maybe for some of us, a little bit like the sinful person, the sinful woman who came to Jesus. Lord, some of us need to come to you again today with our brokenness, with our mess. Knowing that in you, there is always compassion. For anybody who's truly repentant, there's always forgiveness and healing. Maybe for some of us, the story of Zacchaeus. Lord, that transformation that took place in Zacchaeus' life as he encountered you. Lord, would you transform us more and more into people who look more like you? For Zacchaeus, it was that generosity. It showed that was the fruit of what was going on in his life, where we have fruit in our lives that shows you that we are transformed by you. Maybe we need to be a little bit more like the woman who had to push through the crowd just to touch the hem of your cloak. Maybe some of us today, we just need to have that hunger again, that determination to get closer to you. Maybe there's things that we need to push past, battle through. Lord, give us the strength, give us the courage. Maybe the story of the friends who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Lord, give us wisdom about how we might help our friends, how we might help some of our family members come closer to you. Could you use us somehow for that to happen? Help us to be a little like the Magi that was willing to go a long way to worship at your feet. Lord, help us not to get distracted. Help us not to lose the wonder of being in worship at your feet. Lord, keep us strong. We don't want to be like the walkawayers. We don't want to be like the rich man or the Pharisees. We don't want to be like those disciples that said it's just too difficult. And they left Jesus' side. Help us to stay on the narrow path, however difficult that sometimes might be. And we pray again, as we said, for those that we carry in our hearts who are prodigals, people that have wandered away, people that maybe were close to the Father, but yet for some reason, something has eroded them and taken them away from the Father. Maybe it's the glitter and the glam, the pull of the world. Maybe it's the enemy's lies. Lord, today we put those people before you who we know, who knew you and have gone away, Lord, that would you bring them back to you? There are people in this church that used to be regular worshippers. hands held high, but yet somehow they've wandered away. Lord, would you bring them home? So, Lord, we pray that you take this challenge today. Wherever we are in our faith, we take the challenge to continue to move closer to you. To not stand still, to not fall back, but to keep moving forward, to deepen our faith, to mature our faith, even if that means sometimes we have to be like children again. That you would refresh the wonder and the mystery and the beauty of it. Help us never to get too familiar. Push us on, we pray. Push us on, we pray. Call us on closer to you. Even now, let us have that tangible sense of your presence again in this place. Just get that, that we sit in the presence of Almighty God. Wow. That the God who flung stars into space, Jesus who died on the cross for us, is personal, once stands before us, calls us into their presence, calls us into their love and their compassion and their healing. Wow. Lord, those that don't know you don't have this. But we can. More and more. We thank you for your presence with us today, but when we leave this place, your promise is you will still be with us. Nothing can separate us from you. So when we're feeling the struggles of this week, when we're not feeling great, when illness starts to take hold, help us to remember you are there. Because you are our God and we are your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, maybe it'd be really good if there's people that have encouraged you to get closer to Jesus, have cheered you on, kicked you to get closer to Jesus. Maybe drop them a text, drop them a bit of encouragement from, say, you know, the guy was waffling at church today and he said this, and he said, you know, I just wanted to say thank you that you've helped me to stay on the path. You've helped me in my Christian walk. You encouraged me. You challenged me. Thank you. Maybe there's some people like that we can go and just say thank you to. Maybe there's people in church, but maybe there's people who have been part of your journey. Just, yeah, why not send them a message this afternoon and encourage them again? That would be really good, wouldn't it? We're going to stand and sing our final song. Let's stand.